Hello, I'm Eddie.
I'm Dr. Sharp.
I'm Meg.
And I'm Donovan. This week on the Athens Think Tank podcast, we'll be talking about video games. We love them. Most people feel indifferent. Some people even hate them. We'll talk about it all.
What's been going on?
Well, first of all, I'd like to apologize that I'm painting my nails right now. So the odor.
You know, we didn't think we could get you like exclusively for the podcast. So you don't have to apologize. You know you're a busy person.
Yeah, I gotta multitask.
So you're doing a base layer, or you're just doing a clear coat?
I'm doing like a strengthening protein treatment.
Oh, okay.
Because my nails have been splitting a lot. And
mine do that too.
Wait, what do you mean splitting?
They're just like a jagged edge.
Yeah, you almost get like split
at the
edges.
Not like down the middle.
A little bit. Like they just fray more at the edges.
Yeah. So do you think it's a result of having manicures at all?
Possibly, but I actually think that my manicures tend to help prevent that, because when I get them regularly, my nails get really long and hard.
Okay.
So tough to say, but I think it's
speaking of long and hard, I have to masturbate into a cup tomorrow.
That's
and take
really
it down
cool.
to the urologist.
Oh,
and I'm like,
to see if the men are still on board or if they
jumped ship.
And so I was talking to Meg at dinner tonight, and I'm like, okay, so like Friday is my morning with Safi. It's like, okay, I need to like masturbate right before I take Metalark to daycare, and then me and Safi are going to go into the urologist with my sample and hand it to them. Mm-hmm. And then I have to like pick up a painting from a friend, so maybe we'll do that afterward. But what a real weird
to take your daughter to.
Are you going to masturbate? When am I going to masturbate?
Are you going
to
have
needs
her
to happen.
Take the cup up to the desk?
Like, should she not see it?
Or? You have to put it in a paper bag, a paper lunch bag.
Yeah.
And take it in. Yeah. That's the classic way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And it's got to be within like 1 to 2 hours.
Like a grocery,
a paper bag, but no cartoon characters on it. Like, you can't have Papa Smurf on the bag.
Yeah. The whole thing is pretty funny because it's, I now see the convenience of just like masturbating in a room at the urologist's office, which I'm sure they have a room like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
But you're not going to take Safi in for
but
that.
But they don't have child care.
No, probably not. Yeah, they need like a child watch program. It's going to be an interesting day.
I want to jump back to the topic of nails because I recently, I always keep a fingernail clipper pair on my keys. And I've changed keys recently, and I put what I thought was a new pair of clippers on it, but it is not new. And after
is it old?
Yes.
Oh.
And after cutting my nails once, they like were so jagged and roughed up that like I had to go back over them like with another pair. That's like I might as well just throw that other pair away.
Oh yeah, throw it away.
It was just like squeezing your nails.
It just was rusty.
I hate it.
My dad
must have some terrible nails because all of his fingernail clippers are worn out and just like barely do the job.
they just like crumble like a stone.
Yeah, is he diabetic? I think diabetics' nails. No, are...
His toenails look like rocks growing upwards out of his toes. They look nothing like a human toenails. They're crazy. I don't know if because he smashed his feet so many times or what, but they.
Like parts
they
of
literally
the
look
crack.
Like little yellow pieces of sulfur growing out of like withered flesh stumps.
Tina's, some of her toenails grow in like a tube. Like curve around so much.
Oh,
that
they
become a tube.
Like
so she has to cut them from the sides.
A downward tube?
In the middle, so they'll like.
Or like an upward tube.
Wow.
Like a wave.
Like a vertical tube,
like straight up.
Straight up.
That's or, like I'm sorry, around her toe.
It's like
a straw. Tube.
It's like apologies. It's like you could get
it's
down and
a,
suck her out of her toe.
Well, if you laid like with your head to the side,
yeah,
it's not growing straight up.
If you tried to play her toe like a flute,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys are describing how it really is.
I would just listen. Does it wrap around her toe, tube style?
No, it's long and curly like a piece of bologna on the horizon.
What?
I have no idea what
a
it
piece
looks
of
like.
Bologna on the horizon.
What?
Yeah.
Like, think about the horizon.
Rolled. Yeah, so it roll it... it
Are you familiar with her toenails?
Me?
No, well, the way she's describing it, it sounds like, you know, they are horizontal and not vertically rolled.
Yeah, they're horizontal rolled. I misspoke.
That still doesn't make much sense. But
no, they're coming out and they...
You could describe this way clearer than that.
What about those little cookies that are rolled up that you dip in coffee?
Pirouettes.
Pirouettes, yeah. It's like a little pirouette.
It is.
Sitting on the top of her toe.
That is the best explanation thus far. Thank you.
And it's clear.
Delicious visualization.
And yummy. Okay, so we're back. We're talking about nails.
You guys just went out and saw it, but I went to Arizona. I catered a family reunion, and I drove a Cadillac back across the country.
Oh wow!
Catered a family reunion. How many people were there?
About 120.
What?
Whoa. That's including children. About 20 to 25, maybe 30 children.
How many meals did you do?
Just one.
One. Main course, one dinner.
18.27 pounds of brisket, one gigantic beef brisket, and 36 chickens halved, so 64 half chickens.
Vegetarian options or
we had elote salad, some baked beans, and then just like some donuts.
What
about gluten-free? I guess they ate the salad.
There were some gluten-free people there, and I told her only the obvious things have gluten in them, because that was true. So she could eat everything.
Eat the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Or the cake, right?
Yeah. Your real problem is the vegan gluten-free, but I don't think you have that.
Yeah, none of them. It was my mother's side of the family, so it was all the Hispanic side.
Mm-hmm.
And the three main families were the Provencios, which is my mother's maiden name. The Padillas and the Figueredas.
Mm-hmm.
And we had never really met in the Figueredas, and they all came from California, and I would say they were like 50 to 60% of the people there were alone.
Whoa. How did they know them? Did they meet them on Ancestry.com?
Ancestry, I'm not sure. But this one guy, Uncle Joe, everyone was calling him, and I guess he's the one who's like related to my mom's family. He was like the patriarch. And those were like all his children and grandchildren. Like he was, like they were all related to him. It was crazy to think
so
about that.
So how old was Uncle Joe?
I would say probably 80.
Okay.
My mother's family, all of them are very long-lived. Like she has an aunt who's like 105 right now.
Wow.
This kind of makes me think about crashing a family reunion, because I feel like you could do it.
There were some junkies. Like these like young dudes showed up and they were acting all weird. And then... two of them went into the men's bathroom multiple times for like 20 minutes at a time.
So you don't think they were in the family?
No, they were.
Oh,
but
they were
just junkies that showed up, and I think they were probably trying to get a free ride. Like, you know, they probably got their gas paid for.
But
yeah.
You think everybody that was there was family?
Yes, I do.
Hmm.
Everyone
like, how do
know
you it. Check?
Because everyone knew, like, there wasn't anyone who was like, hey, is he with you? Is he with you?
Yeah, yeah.
They all had their credentials.
Wow. Yeah, I think I could crush a family reunion, though.
Maybe.
I could have been there.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
No, I'm too.
Maybe I shouldn't say this on air, but I thought when we were at Fail and Greg's wedding, I saw some wedding crashers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There definitely were some.
No, there definitely,
there definitely were. There were some people that weren't invited that came to the ceremony.
Oh, but I wasn't thinking of friends. I was thinking of like people nobody knew.
Why do they call them crashers? Is it because they're crashing into
the
wedding?
Like they like crash through that barrier if they're
social etiquette.
Oh, I really always thought that meant like they're ruining the wedding.
No, they might.
I mean, anyone could ruin a wedding. But crashing a wedding is like, it's just like going to one that you're not
invited to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm.
So in driving across the country, I had to take 2 days in Texas. My first stop was in Brownfield at the Crystal Palace Inn.
That sounds nice.
It was very nice. They had a wall decoration that was just like a cornucopia that had fake flowers out of it. But on the cornucopia was a pink and a blue dolphin.
I had never
seen imagery like that before.
That sounds great.
Swimming pool?
No. Yes,
that was in the bottom of the swimming pool.
There was a swimming pool, but it had been completely filled in, and it was actually the owner's garden.
Oh, cool.
And then across the street, when I rolled up, like there was this building, and I was like, oh, is that like an activity center? What is that? It just doesn't have any windows, but like obviously it's well-kept enough that something's going on, but it's in the parking lot of the hotel. Then suddenly it starts filling up with cars, and I'm like, what is this? I go for a little walk. It's Esteban's Lounge.
Yeah.
Just a local
lounge in the parking lot?
Yeah, it's just like, looks like it used to be like maybe a church or something. Okay. And now it's just a bar.
Did you go in?
No.
Oh, okay.
The reason I didn't go in is because it was one of those establishments that doesn't have any windows. And I can't do that.
Bar fights.
We went to North Carolina recently, and they have a lot of private clubs. Like, bars are just like closed off to the public unless you're a member.
It might have been Esteban's Lounge. It seemed like it had that austere.
Yeah, it felt weird. Like, we went to this one place because we're like, let's get a drink here. And then they're like, ooh, members only. But we have a spot on our guest list and you guys look fine, so we'll let you in. And it felt very like
exclusive.
Racist, I thought. Like, we were white, so we got in. But I don't know. Could have been anything. Apparently there's like an explanation for it, but it's long and I don't remember it.
Second stop, Texarkana.
Okay. Texarkana?
Yes.
That's what the name of the place?
The Travel Lodge by Wyndham in Texarkana.
Okay.
Bedbug ridden, worst hotel I've ever been in my life. Got a lot of bed bug bites, tons of bed bug bites. The parking lot was just like active with people all night.
Jeez.
The hallway, literally, I was like, what does the smell remind me of? It was the restroom of the elementary school at Sholo. $40, I guess. You get what you pay for, but terrifying.
I've never stayed in a place that bad.
It was about 50-50. It was like, you know, middle of the road 2.5, which any hotel room under $60 is a 2.5.
Right.
Okay.
It was really awful, though. So much to the point that I got up at 2:30 in the morning and thought about leaving. In fact, I got on the road, and like then I was like, I can't just like leave right now. I need to like go back to bed and get some more sleep.
Oh, man.
But like
that sucks.
I woke up, what caused me to leave, I woke up and I just saw two bed bugs fall off my head and like run towards the headboard. And I was just like, oh my God, this is. Then last night
bed bugs are big enough to see.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Especially when they're full of my blood.
Ugh.
But last stop was Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I don't remember the name of the hotel.
Is that West Alabama?
I believe so, yeah. And it just looked like it hadn't been remodeled since like 1970. It looked like the hotel room they rent an Easy Rider or something.
That sounds kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it was fine. It was obviously a very... The two Indian joints, which was the first one and the second one, pretty nice. Very well run.
Uh-huh.
The one that wasn't, awful. Scary. Yep. And that's the story.
That's a... So how much were you driving each day?
2 8-hour days. So the first day I drove 8.5 hours. The second day was 8.5 hours. Third day, 7 hours. Last day, 4 hours.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you a story. On the last day of our trip, I had to poop really bad when we were going to the San Francisco airport.
Yeah, go on.
And I was like...
Once you get there, you're not going to be able to do it.
Well, honestly, on trips where you fly somewhere, I feel like I don't drink enough water and I don't poop enough. There were a couple days where I didn't poop at all.
That happens.
So I was kind of gauging it on like, I'm not going to poop today. You know, like this is going to be one of those days where I just don't poop. And halfway to the airport, I was like, oh...
It is.
This is the real deal. This is happening, whether we like it or not. And so I was Meg, we got to pull over. And she's like, there's a rest stop.
It's
a
like 4:45 a.m. at this point, too.
Yeah.
That's the best time to use the bathroom at any place public.
Anyway, we stopped at a Safeway, and I pushed the electric door, and like it kind of opened a little bit, and I'm like, oh, I can get in there and like, go poop in their bathroom. And then some guy saw me and he goes, we don't open till 5. Like he yelled that at me. And I was like, I got close to him. I was like, man, can you let me in to go poo-poo?
Like I got to go poo-poo.
I know. I was like, can you let me in to say poo-poo? And then he goes, no, I'm just a vendor. Like I don't have keys. And so then I got back in the car and I was like, they're not going to let me in. And then there was a round table pizza, like close to some dumpsters.
If I were you, I would have poo-pooed in the parking lot.
And so... Meg's like, she had mentioned the dumpsters earlier as a joke, and I was like, I'm going to go poop behind the dumpster.
It was for being a pretty built-up area, that did seem like a pretty secluded. Mm-hmm. There were trees. On a hill.
I told you, I think I'm personally responsible for why there's a bathroom at the dog park in Holbrook, Arizona.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so Eddie, continue your story.
Well, so I looked at the dumpster area, and it was nice, but like there was this really nice secluded area behind a tree next to the dumpsters, and I'm like, that's my spot. And I went, and I pooped, and my, like... I pooped a lot, which I didn't expect to do. And I brought some wipes because we have children with diapers. And
good. Yeah, no, it's great. It's
like
awesome.
A bidet.
Pretty much. It's funny. Like, oh, look at this giant pile with name brand wipes.
Yeah. And so I was pretty careful, like, not to step in my own shit. And I get back. You know, I cleaned up.
I
think
you felt great. Felt way better.
And there was a
better.
Dumpster right there, too. So I tossed the like mess wipes, of wipes into the dumpster. And I'm like, I did well. And I get in the car and then I smell shit, basically.
You stepped in it.
And so I stepped in poop, but it wasn't my poop.
It was someone else's poop.
I was looking at my poop and my poop was green.
Oh, no. Get out of town. I hate this story, dude.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to love it.
I loved it up until he stepped in someone else's poop and it's in his car. Like, I didn't. Yeah.
And
in San Francisco, it makes sense. It's, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
but Donovan, you made a good point because I was like, okay. If people keep shitting back there, they're inevitably going to have to build a bathroom in that shopping center that's open 24 hours.
You know, another observation I made is this was the perfect spot to poop in. Like, I saw it.
Yeah.
And I recognized it. I was like, I could poop back here, but that spot.
This looks almost better than finding a bathroom.
Like, come on. Like,
and
that's
what turns out. Probably
a lot of people.
Many people.
I know. I was one of three.
I would hate.
Yeah.
I would
there that morning.
I would hate to like work at any place that has a dumpster in San Francisco.
So you get in with poo poo on your shoe, and then what did everyone else in the car think about it?
Oh yeah. So the kids, like Metalark was awake at this point, and she goes, "I don't like this poop smell." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. I stepped in poop." And like we're driving, you know, on the interstate with the windows down, and I'm like scrubbing poop off
and
of my.
Meg's driving,
poops. Yeah, I drove.
Off
I drove.
Of my sandals.
Oh, so come
it kind of got on my foot a little bit. It was on my hands, and I was kind of getting a little bit sick.
I was just like, I'm so glad I'm not Eddie right now.
Yeah, well, plus it's some bum poop. It's at least it's a rental car. If I were you, I would have just ground it into the carpet. The
I got a little
car.
Bit on my backpack and on the floor mats because, you know, that was down there when I got in the car.
Well, okay. Well, we're on the topic of poop and end closure. I will no longer be promoting psyllium husk.
Whoa.
I... Wait, this is
exclusive.
The biggest better, news of the week for me.
Better than psyllium husk, the squatty potty.
What?
Okay.
What is like, that?
It's just this device that gets you potty? A little bit higher than the seat. So it raises you up, like, I don't know, maybe 10 inches, a little bit higher. So you squat above the bowl. And even like sans fiber, I've had like better. Like, I'm like, I can't believe I'm still pooping. Like, the coveted 5-second long poop. I'm like, wow, I can't believe
like
this.
Like, the links of sausage.
Yeah.
So, it's basically just like a footstool.
Yes,
though, right?
Exactly. Pretty much. But it fits around the toilet really around. Well. Okay. And like, it just has like these nice foot placement areas.
Yeah. But you're not discounting the psyllium husk.
No,
you're
no,
just
no.
saying there's even a better way. Okay.
Like, if you coupled the two.
Wow.
I feel like I've talked about this a lot. Like, I just squat on the actual seat.
Yeah, we talked about this at one time. Okay. But I decided, like, I recently was like, oh, yeah, it's better than psyllium husk. Like, I decided the squatty potty really is.
That's
but now we can
cool.
stop with the poop talk.
Okay. Yeah. Done.
neti pot, do you that?
Oh, no. For some reason, white people seem to like this simulated feeling of drowning. I don't.
Right. Hence waterboarding. They're like, brown people should like this too.
When we were going to Six Flags, Lewis asked me, would you ever have a baby on board sticker? And I thought about it. And I was like, if it had a baby on a waterboard under it and it said baby on board, then
whoa.
Like...
Wait, a waterboard like
the torture device to get information.
Okay.
I think it's more commentary on United States politics than anything.
No, I got you. No, I understood that from the moment you told me it was the torture thing and not the like fun jet ski thing that lifts you above lakes.
The background could be an American flag.
Yeah, baby on board.
Wait, what were we talking about right before the baby on board sticker?
Poop.
No, but
oh, the neti pot.
Yeah, I like a neti pot.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See.
Not
white.
Me. Does it work for you?
Yeah.
It doesn't work for
and
me
it,
already.
It like cleans out your allergies or some shit?
Your sinuses?
It's supposed to be preventative medicine and not a treatment as much.
No, that's cool.
It's not.
It's worked for me as a preventative. Also,
how do you prove that?
How do I prove it?
Yeah.
I just, you know, like when you are starting to get a cold and it sucks. And neti pot, it sucks less.
Yeah, this dude I
to
know.
To me.
This dude I know, Cook, he was eating some of that emergency in the drink. And he's like, it's preventative, man. It's going to like help me not get sick. And I think he's right. So preventative.
When
like,
I take emergency.
Preventative medicine is
remedies.
Duh.
It's a remedy.
It's
though.
Duh.
Zinc, I think, does work as preventative medicine for colds.
I think so, too.
Emergency, like anything that has the big hit of like 1,000 times your daily intake of vitamin
yeah.
C. My piss smells 1,000 times more like vitamin C every
yeah.
time I take it, to the point that I smell emergency. I'm like, oh, this just smells like pee to me. Like, and I'm really disgusted by
I believe
that.
In it a little
oh.
bit. Like,
maybe.
Know. My I mom mean, was really into like, she would like make me drink orange juice with like a vitamin C pill.
Mm-hmm. Right before you ate mushrooms?
No. But this is better than that. And it's the same amount of vitamin C. 1 to 2,000%. I rented a boat this vacation.
Sick. Let's hear it.
And, you know, I'd never rented a boat before. And I like it.
Oh,
you like
Eddie
driving
was
a boat?
In his element.
I'm
bust,
excited.
On the boat.
Bust out
That's
another
cool.
thousand, Eddie.
He had the kids
it was
sitting
a
on his lap, steering
it.
The boat.
Couple
That's
hundo.
Cool.
This is all the more reason to buy my Cadillac is because it can actually tow. Like, it, you know, it's all wheel drive.
Yeah,
you can't tow with the CRV.
All right. We're not selling your Cadillac to
also,
me
Also, you
podcast.
Guys should not buy a boat.
Oh, no, we're not going to buy a boat, but I want to rent a boat like
yeah.
once a year.
Yes.
I think it's like within my
yes.
means to just always go
yes.
to a lake and rent some
what
boat
What is
time.
Donovan? I know our listeners can't see him, but he's losing writhing his in pain, yeah. mind in like disgust about
because Eddie should buy a boat.
Yeah,
is that,
at least okay. I'm waiting and not interrupting.
Oh, well.
And nonetheless, yeah, I think it's a much better idea to just buy a boat.
It is really not. At
I don't
all.
Know. Okay, so
then you'll come to love your boat and know how to drive your boat. If you drive boat, like,
have you owned a boat before?
Is it that hard to drive a boat?
My father's owned many boats,
and you have to register it.
Oh,
it
you're a boat. You're a real boat guy, huh?
I'm a boatman,
and you have to take care of your boat.
Yeah.
Well, Donovan's rolling his eyes, and he sounds like he's speaking from some experience.
Boat rental is literally like
it
how
is
many hours?
Very
okay,
expensive.
Yeah, how many hours did you rent it for?
Four hours. Yeah,
$250.
No,
oh,
more.
Way more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
precisely.
I am thinking, how much is a boat?
Based entry level boat that would fit your whole family, $2,500, and that has inboard. Like motor, like jet propelled.
Yeah,
like,
that's not paying itself off for at least 6 years, and
we
have to have a place to hold to store it.
Yeah, the kids, you know, it's out in the lawn. They want some place to play.
Put it in Safi's room.
Yeah, they know. They just jump out. They round the boat.
Oh,
and
you bring it home every time. Okay.
Yeah, you park it in the driveway.
Stay in the marina.
No, it doesn't stay in the marina. You park it in the driveway with a cover over it.
Okay. But entry level boat, we're renting like a pontoon.
Okay, a pontoon boat is going to be even cheaper because nobody wants them.
But that, where are you going to put it? You're going to put that in your yard?
Why do you wish to own a pontoon boat?
We didn't. You said you should own a boat.
I just thought I'd rent a boat. Like,
well,
I don't know if I'd like boats if I had.
You
could
go
one.
Rent a boat on Lake Lanier is about the same price. It's actually cheaper. A 4-hour tour.
We were in Salt Lake City, so
yeah,
it's
very
big.
Rich.
Okay.
This is like,
rich country.
Listen, a party barge, like base level.
Is it on Craigslist?
No, this is just like a new boat, which is probably. Well, it's like $16,000.
Okay,
it's not $2,000.
We didn't say new boat. We never said new boat. It's like buying a new car. It's a bad idea to buy new cars.
Okay,
and
I
want to
stop talking about buying and renting boats and talk about how fun boats can be. Can we make that
Absolutely.
Transition?
I want to know how good were you like at, because it's pretty hard to drive a boat. It's very predictive.
The driving was like, I let my 5-year-old nephew drive it, and it wasn't very
No,
hard.
But Eddie, so there was kind of a tight situation getting the boat
back to the dock. It's hard to get of driving.
And
a
Eddie
boat.
Did a really good job. The guys, okay, it was weird because we're like on a lake in the
Eddie's,
middle of Utah.
Right now, he's face palming right now.
There were some real bros working there, like straight off of. You know, straight off of what's that beach called in LA? Muscle Beach. Like, they were just total Touch. Bros. It was funny. And they were very proud of Eddie for backing the boat into
Oh,
the
that's
spot.
Cool.
I want to talk about, like, when you're out on a boat, you can just stop it anywhere in the lake.
And
then
you can,
like,
swim. You can,
like,
drop
you
anchor.
Jump off the boat.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, like... You can, like, do backflips off the boat and shit.
What lake in Utah was this, Powell?
Jordanelle. It's not. It wasn't
yeah,
a big
we were
lake.
In Park City, so not Salt Lake, but close. And we brought a bunch of food. Meg brought, like, a veggie platter, and then she bought, like, bagels and, like, all the fixins for bagels. And we ate all of it, basically, just hanging out in the sun on this boat. And it was pretty cool because the lake was super cold and then, like, it was super sunny. So you would get in the lake and you'd be like, oh, it's so cold. I'm, like, hyperventilating. And then you get back on the boat and you're like, this feels good. So
it was because later we went to the shore and I was like, I'm not getting in this water. But off a boat, it was really exciting because you just made the decision then you couldn't go back.
You kind of and
it was very nice.
We had these like inflatable rings that people would throw out and then dive through. And I'm like,
That's
that looks
great.
So fun.
Yeah.
And I could see hanging out on a boat for 4 hours if you had like booze
Not
and
your
friends
children.
And no kids, right? And like, no kids is pretty crucial for like fun boat times. But we only hung out for like 2 hours and then we passed the boat off to like a new like some other family members
nice.
Like you can only have 11 on the boat at a time. So we just, 11 new people got to do the boat for an hour and a half. And then we got like another like 45 minutes to do the boat for ourselves. It was really...
$219 to rent the pontoon okay. for 4 hours on Lake Lanier.
Let's talk about that's great. Other than boats.
okay, well, I'll just letting you
that's
know.
Freddy's that's Freddy's birthday.
That's a good
that
way to
your
close
birthday
it.
Too.
Yeah, ooh. That'd be a great. I always wanted to rent the boat for the Murdoch cassettes. Like I was gonna, that was the raffle for Murdoch cassettes night at Go Bar.
Uh-huh.
Was I wanted to raise enough money to rent the boat? Then whoever won the raffle gets to party with the Murdoch cassette artists on the boat.
That's a great idea.
That is good.
So let's talk about
video games. Is it that time or is it time for this is new music?
Oh, that's good.
This is a man playing a Mario song on the piano.
Okay, you guys want to hear something that I didn't realize until Eddie started playing Super Mario Brothers recently?
What's Super that? Mario World.
World. It's very strange how the time is faster than actual time. Like, there's a clock ticking, mm-hmm. but it's not seconds.
No, there are many games like that that have internal clocks.
That's so strange.
Then you have to get used to the game's time.
I feel like as a child, though, that like defined time to me. And I think that I had a hard time. Like, I thought a second was a lot faster than a second. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So, that's a good point, Meg. That's really interesting.
Well, a lot of timing is based off of the clock speed of the computer. So, mm-hmm. like, Nintendo's had, like, some set clock speed, like 300 megahertz or something like that, which is 300 million times per second or something. And they would, they would have the clock, like scaled down from it. But with analog electronics, it depended on your temperature, like what speed the clock would run at.
Oh,
and so like when, like even on your phones, like the clock is a calculation because your phones are running at like gigahertz speeds. And so it
what?
Well, you need to understand solid state electronics. A little better.
You're right.
So are you playing Super Mario World on a Super Nintendo you have here?
No, just an emulator.
On your
Raspberry
computer?
Pi.
On your Pi?
Yes.
And you just have like a controller you play externally on?
This is always the first question. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
A Bluetooth controller.
I guess we had talked about this. We've been playing Mario Party 4.
Is that a GameCube game?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Donovan brought his cube.
It went through Texarkana, too.
I clocked in some time on that one, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we had five.
It got quite competitive last night. Our second time playing.
It did. So of the humans, I won, so...
Wait, so you lost to
of
a computer?
The humans.
We always lose to computer, but he... Desi
was
also...
Was it Wario?
I will say that I am Wario, and... The computer didn't have
of
to
of course
win.
You're Wario. Desi, are you Toadstool?
No, you can't even be Toadstool. You can't be Toadstool. Actually.
I feel like you were always Toadstool, right?
I like being Toad, but on Mario Party 4, I don't think you can be Toad because he's the MC.
Okay.
I was Daisy. The other night, though, I was Waluigi, which was great. I liked being Waluigi a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
Fancy free.
Daisy is not... There's two princesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Peach
Daisy and Peach.
And Daisy.
Okay, Daisy's the yellow one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Peach is her younger sister.
Is she dating Luigi?
Peach?
Peach?
No, Daisy.
Daisy? It seems like she should.
Is she in
I
Donkey
don't think
Kong?
So. I think that...
Maybe she's hanging out with Donkey.
I think that Luigi's pretty solitary.
Well, Cook was Donkey Kong last night, so...
So is it just the three of you, or is there...
There's
and
a
the
computer, too.
Okay.
Who was Mario?
The first time he was Yoshi, and...
We all got so angry that we couldn't make him Yoshi again.
I feel the computer will opt to Mario.
We chose
It also can like steal those stars from you. Like you're trying to collect the stars to win, right?
Also in this, I would like to ask you on air, Eddie, may I borrow your copy of The Twin Snakes?
Yeah.
And in that, I think that it is the most expensive GameCube game.
Really?
Just one disc of it, disc two on eBay, $54 minimum. Which
Wait,
I think
what?
Is insane.
Why would you only buy one disc?
Exactly. Exactly. So a complete like case in game must be like $160.
Wait, Eddie, you're not going to sell it.
No, no, no. I'm just telling you. I was thinking about buying it myself, but looking it up, I was like, I can't believe how expensive it is.
Eddie,
this is insane.
What GameCube games do you have?
I got a bunch.
He has Mario Golf. He's a Mario Golf shark.
Toadstool Tour. Mario Kart Double Dash.
Oh, nice.
Also highly sought after.
I have the Legend of Zelda
Tour
package, like the Master Sword one with like, so you can play Ocarina of Time or Wind Waker.
Both of those are really great games.
Pretty
actually.
Classic games. Among the lesser known hits, I have like Turok.
Oh, wow.
I've seen
like
that
GameCube Turok. And then I have GoldenEye for the
game. Oh, is that any good? Or I feel like I rented it and was like, this is nothing like I remember and got mad.
They made like a GoldenEye remake and it was pretty bad.
I remember that.
Didn't Kyle and Ryan, weren't they playing that game a bunch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was one of like the first remakes.
It wasn't even a remake. It's like a GoldenEye private operative.
Yeah.
Or like a colon.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah. Because it's, I mean, I was just saying last night that I think the most fun I've ever had playing video games is playing GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Multiplayer.
GoldenEye was a fun one. I remember seeing it being played, like the intro was being played in some computer store in the mall, and my dad was like, that looks so realistic. I thought that's funny, like looking back on it, because it didn't really look very
realistic.
It's
nothing to what they can do now. Yeah,
my first year in Flagstaff, I played Mortal Kombat 3 for the Sega Genesis against my roommate for at least like an hour, you know, daily, if not, you know, every other day. And I would say that's like the most time like I've dedicated
that you've
to
clocked.
Not really clocked a game. I've definitely played other games more, but more just where it's like, oh my God, this is so much fun
that we got to like, get home and play.
Or like, yeah, like just like anytime we'd be hanging out, we'd be like, hey, like you like just want to fire it up and like hit a few matches. And then like where it'd end and like one of us, like we'd go out and smoke a cigarette afterwards and one was smoking in defeat and the other one was smoking in triumph. And they were both like totally different cigarettes. You know, one was like congratulatory, like after sex cigarette. And the other was like, oh, I just lost my job cigarette.
Nice.
Oh, man. I was never that invested. I don't know.
I mean.
Wait. So, okay. I just need to hear everyone's kind of early childhood relationship with video games.
It's very similar to mine still, where if like it's not going perfectly for me, like I'll reset it. I'm like a very much like, oh, when I die, I pause the game for a second and like recollect and then like go back in. And like, I remember my brother when I was really young being like, I'm sick of listening to you play Mario Brothers because I hear the pause button every 15 seconds.
I like hate that. Hearing that pause button.
Well, 'cause it goes, and like, he's like, I, like, you're not playing it right. But I still play video games the same way, where it's like, if things aren't going perfectly for me, I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and try this again.
Early favorite games?
Early favorite games, I mean, for Nintendo, obviously Super Mario Brothers. Like, that's just the classic
the
one.
Original
the
or
original.
Two or three? Okay.
The one with Duck Hunt?
Yeah, exactly. The split with Duck Hunt. I liked two, like, I never owned it, and then three, it was too advanced, and it, like, everyone was so obsessed with it.
Yeah, did you see The Wizard, though, in theaters?
No, I didn't.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's this another one called Codename Viper that, like, I would watch my brother play all the time. But as far as, like, video games, like, then when I started playing video games myself, it was mostly, like, PC gaming. That was how I actually got good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but your earliest was the NES.
Yeah, the earliest was the NES. Then I had a finally got a Sega Genesis in like probably like 1996 when everybody else was like playing N64 and stuff. And that was very much like playing Sonic 2, burning incense, and listening to the Romeo plus Juliet soundtrack.
I love that. My sister love had, that soundtrack.
Had copied for me. So it was just like a copied cassette. Like, every evening after school.
Does that have a Prince song on it?
It has a cover by like an orchestra of When Doves Cry.
Okay.
Yeah. Meg.
Okay. My first memory was Nathan Soraka, who had this beautiful house on the hill, had a Nintendo first. And that was my brother's friend. And then we just needed to get one. So my parents bought one for the next Christmas.
Like before and then you we had got one, it. They had one?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I know. Somebody had it before us. And yeah. And then my brothers would just get every system. Like every... I think they just... They played a lot of the big popular games, though. Because the Mario games definitely stand out
Wait,
as being the ones I watched the most.
What did you play?
I didn't like playing it very much. I think once... Mario 3, I played more.
Okay.
And then Super Mario World, like, I definitely beat. That was, like, one of the first games I ever beat.
Okay.
That's a classic. That one's really good.
Yeah.
It is a good game.
Like, reflecting back on it, that's one of the best games ever made.
I have 100% watched more video games than I've played, though. I've probably watched, like, 20 times more. I've watched it 20 times more than I've played.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like watching people play video games.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's like... And I feel like they appreciate having somebody cheer them on.
Oh, right? I love it.
yeah.
I absolutely love it. Especially if it's like a game that I know I'm so good at. Like... To show someone like how good I am at a game.
I've definitely watched Desi beat Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
Yeah. And it's like great when there's... No, I was thinking about like some of the maybe most proud times of my life are like beating a video game in front of other people.
Truly
yeah, I think it's a... I mean, it's a... Maybe just because it's part of my childhood a lot, but I feel like it's just like an experience, like where you go over to your buddy's house, he's playing a single player game. Like, you're not like, hey man, can I see the controller? No, you just like hang out with him, like you experience the story together. It's like almost like watching a movie.
It is.
And then like you're then like
where they're the hero.
No, because even if they're not doing good, you're like you hit them with the beatbox the whole time, and then they're like, oh, and they get all frustrated, but then they like get better, and it's almost like a bonding experience.
It
like,
is.
You're watching them like grow before your eyes.
Exactly. Like, aww. It's nice to watch someone like improve at something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like also just enjoyable to experience, because there's not that many things like that where you actually want to sit and watch someone get mm-hmm. better at something. Like,
yeah,
yeah, you don't
want to
just watch
point.
Them like hit balls
or like play the guitar and like be like burr, 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 and you're like, okay, I can't leave you now.
Yeah, because we can all agree like video games are difficult. Like, they were made to make you fail,
especially older games. Like, they're made to like get that dollar's worth. You're like, I paid $60 for this. Like, so they're like, oh, well, you're going to spend about 6 months like beating this game.
Definitely.
Like, you're going to have to figure this out first. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Eddie's been picking up modern video games recently, which I did maybe like 2 years ago now. And it's like a very different game. Whereas like now it's like, oh, well, this one's going to be like 60 to like 100 hours is the norm now. Where it used to be like, at most, like, if you were going to sit down and you're good at a game, it was going to take you, like, maybe an hour to beat at most.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I think Rescue Rangers I can beat in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the time commitment. Like, people want games that are going to last a long time now, or... I don't know. Like,
so they don't have that category of game?
Casual gaming, they call it now. And that's, like, what...
Do they still make casual games?
Oh, yeah. They've been relegated to, like soccer indie. Moms and children.
Okay, like
those are, like,
on
the
your
themes.
Phone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also, like, indie game developers mm-hmm. that make stuff that is so beautifully reminiscent of, like, the Mario era.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, you play it and you're like, that was like a poem.
That's huge right now, like indie gaming.
Yeah,
like,
I actually, that's who I follow on Twitter is indie gamers mainly.
Mm-hmm. And it's good, and they're getting like a fair amount, especially if you have a PC, like then you can get exposed to a lot of good indie gaming. But otherwise, like it's very trickle down on consoles.
So where is Jack Black in all this?
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny you mentioned him, because I just saw him like on something earlier today. I was like, man, I fucking hate this
You
guy.
Hate him?
I started watching the movie like Year him. One because like I know it's directed by the same guy who directed Caddyshack. So I was like, oh, well, okay. I owe it to Harold Rodney. Ramis.
And Michael Cera.
Harold Ramis, who also directed Ghostbusters, to watch this.
Right.
Fucking A.
No, it's
terrible.
Like,
and
awful.
You blame Jack Black?
Yeah, I've never liked him ever. Like, I remember the first time I saw him was in The Cable Guy, and I was like, man, this guy's annoying. And then I've never ever felt differently.
You didn't I love School of Rock.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's just, you know.
It's just oof for you.
It's just different strokes for different folks. I bet that's the way you feel about, you know, Rodney Dangerfield. Maybe. Oh, I'm sorry. We aren't.
No. You two like him. That's what I know about you two.
Like Rodney?
Mm-hmm.
Rodney. Yeah, well.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well. So I guess I should talk about my early experiences with video games.
Obviously beating them.
Yeah, that was big for me. But my best friend Lindsay Hans had an NES. Well, you know, her family had one, and we played a lot of, you know, Super Mario and then Marble Madness, which is a really difficult game.
Very. I was actually watching some guy do speed runs on it recently, and that's just insane to watch people do speed runs.
I would enjoy watching that, I bet.
I'll shoot you some links.
Okay, cool.
Okay, what is a speed run on just Marble Madness?
Like, just doing it perfectly.
Just muscle memory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, he's just, like, shooting through it. Like, the ball is just going the perfect path the whole time.
Okay, what is happening in the game?
You're a marble.
Okay.
And you're trying to navigate like lands to get to the end, and you know, you like, there's holes, so you have to avoid those.
Okay, so there's
what they would
jumping.
Call it an isometric view. There's no jumping.
Okay.
Yeah, the music on Marble Madness is really imprinted in me, and I really enjoy it. And then we also played Kid Icarus a lot, which I've tried to revisit that game, and I do not like
it. No, it's funny because I remember a friend's sister was all about Kid Icarus, and she like would always play it in front of us. Like, this game, like, it's not that impressive. She hyped it so much that I wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's just not that much fun.
It's not.
It's like bad Joust.
And we also...
Oh, okay.
I will tell you, I think this game is one of the best video games ever. Bubble Bobble.
Oh, yeah.
I love Bubble Bobble. That was my favorite.
It has another name, but yeah, I agree. Bust a Move. Bubble Bobble, Bust a Move.
Yeah.
Same series.
Oh, yeah.
They're
I love
so good.
Bust a Move.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Those...
Yeah, what's that? Bust a Move with a gun?
Yeah, you shoot, you match the things,
yeah,
and then they
that's
pop.
I loved that.
So... Those dinos are two of the cutest dinosaurs I've ever
seen.
Man,
that'd
be
great
to
get a Bust a Move tattoo. People would love a Bust a
Move
tattoo.
Maybe I should, because I really have a strong affection.
You should, because like, and everyone like who likes Bust a Move would be like, aw.
Yeah.
Which color would you get then?
Probably like the pink one.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. So
wait, how many of them are there?
Two.
You seem
right?
like a pink
I thought it was,
dino
is it,
from
I thought it was purple. I think pinky tree purple
as
and
it
green.
Goes on,
I thought it was green and pink.
As it goes on, there's green and pink, but then like there are like
oh,
ones
yeah,
that are blue.
That's true. Yeah.
And the same colors as all the
yeah,
different
that's
bubbles.
Right. That's true. So
wait, so is Bust a Move just a different name for
yeah,
the same game?
Exactly.
Why?
Because they were named differently in Japan and America, and then finally at one point they coalesced into one.
Okay.
Kind of like Biohazard and Resident Evil.
I can get down with that.
So, okay. So that being said, but the way I received my very first NES console is I was going into second grade and my dad was like, you know, it would be cool if you memorized your multiplication tables 1 through 12. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that seems hard. He's like, I'll get you a Nintendo.
Whoa.
If you do it.
That's pretty cool.
So the day that I like was like 12 times 12 is 144. He's like, we're going to the store.
That's awesome.
But this is like 92.
No. Like, I guess I was six. So I was 89.
Oh, okay.
Batman.
So like the
you're Batman.
The SNES was coming out soon.
Yeah, it had been released in the United States, but it was still like so exorbitantly priced that no one owned one.
And like, you know, I had just started. I mean, I think at what year did Super Mario 3 come out? Like
90, maybe 91.
I'm on my phone.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure it was out when I got one.
I don't think it was in the 80s. I'm pretty sure that Super Mario 3 came out after 89.
Do you guys remember The Wizard?
So, yes. Yeah.
I bet it's a 1990 film.
Wasn't that like a big advertisement?
And I bet that Super Mario World, Super Mario 3 is 1990, I bet then.
Okay, I got it though. Do you guys need to know this?
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers 3 is a platform video game developed and published by Nintendo. God.
Just give us the fucking United States.
It was released in North America on February 12th, 1990.
Okay, so then I was I was between second and third grade. So
The Wizard. I mean, I don't know why this is a topic. I guess it was different for you guys because you were older than me, so The Wizard like mattered. But like, it didn't even like I didn't even know about it until I moved in with Marty.
Information, butthead. We watched The Wonder Years, so we were like, oh yeah, like we love Kevin Savage.
Frank Savage.
Fred Savage. Let's just see how
good he is now. No, this scene resonates with me, though. This is like the power glove scene.
I know. I told I'm
good at all of them. He's opened his bag and he has all these Nintendo games, like everything ever published.
Are they in box or are they just in sleeve?
Okay, we don't have to watch this whole thing.
It's great music, though.
But play what he says when he puts the power glove on.
Let's try to find out. He's... Power glove. Doesn't... Okay, so now he's, like, controlling a video game with a glove.
I love music.
Wait.
I'm gonna skip to the end.
Okay.
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
I just did that for, I guess it was for Rachel and Cook the other night.
I still like, think about that.
I love the power glove. It's so bad. That's good. I know. It's like my
pulling out
life.
Movie quotes at the perfect time, like, is very appropriate. Like, actually, during the family reunion, my brother-in-law was like, I got some White Claws in the truck if you want some. And I pulled the Caddyshack. Well, we're waiting. And like, he actually bought that movie for me on DVD when I was a
That's
kid.
Really cute.
So it was very appropriate to like
I bet he loved it. Check.
Well, yeah, he did.
That's very family reunion.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Okay, so when we got the original Nintendo, we played Super Mario 3 a ton. And then we played Tetris. Mm.
When it came out, like we actually had just gotten the Game Boy, and like I remember people who I was like, why are they like picking up the Game Boy and playing it? And it was because of Tetris.
Uh-huh.
Like
it's a universal game,
adult game that I felt like we owned, like a game that, you know, didn't have cutesy colors or like wasn't made to appeal to children. Like, it's like, oh, this is, I guess, the first puzzle game. Like, I didn't even have a concept of puzzle games, and except for Dr. Mario, which
I was just going
to
bring
discuss.
Up Dr. Mario.
I think it stinks.
What?
It's no fun. No,
Dr.
The
Mario. Best
part
of Dr.
With
Mario.
The really fun.
The only good thing is the music.
I was just going to say the music's really.
But you can't separate the music from the piece.
See, I feel like as I've been thinking about video games a lot ever since Monday. I realize that music is like such an important part of it.
It's integral, absolutely.
For me.
That's why I played that little bit from the like the piano rendition of like a Super Mario World song, because like music is important.
It's
sure.
critical. And yeah, I guess so. I feel like, I don't know, like this week I've been thinking about video games a ton, and I was like, I feel like, I know that sometimes there's this like gendered thing, you know, about video games, like boys play them
that's a
more.
Little, I think that's more of a Gen X point of view, to be
well,
honest.
I agree, but I feel like I didn't, like some of my good girlfriends played a lot of video games, but I didn't have a ton of girlfriends who played a lot of video games. Like I played a lot as I'm thinking about it comparatively.
And it's funny you say that, because all of my girlfriends, I've had, have always been like fans of video games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I feel like it's kind of like maybe like a personality trait.
Right.
Or like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's also like kind of influenced by upbringing, and like if someone's being, I don't know. I feel like it's also sociopolitical. Like,
well, let me tell my story. Good. For once upon a time, I got the Nintendo Entertainment System. My dad bought it for like a Christmas present, like the original NES.
What year?
88.
Okay.
I just want to say that I tell this story about Eddie's dad pretty frequently, about like explaining Eddie's character.
Okay.
Well, what do you think you're headed towards?
This is... You're talking to the listener right now.
Yeah, what I think you're
Boy,
headed towards.
Boy, strap in, listener. This is Donovan's seminal story about me. So Ron Boswell, he buys this Nintendo Entertainment System, and he bought Super Mario Duck Hunt and Top Gun were the two games that he bought. And he bought the joystick for Top Gun.
Nice.
Like, that was another thing you could buy. Like, it seems like he went all in on this thing.
And as people did at that time.
Oh, yeah. We got a power pad
right
away.
Economy,
right? Boom.
Yeah. So, I didn't find this out till later, but he was like, yeah, so the night before I gave it to you, I opened everything, and I stayed up, like, all night playing the Nintendo. And he was, like, playing Top Gun and, like, flying the airplane and thinking, like, oh man, this is just like flying a real airplane, man. I can't believe it. Like, I'm really piloting this thing. And, you know, the next day we wake up and we don't suspect anything. We just like open it like it's a brand new thing. And it had been played.
So did your dad continue to play video games with you?
I feel like he also didn't add the part where afterwards Ron would go in and modify the games.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the story that I was talking about.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there was... Well, I'll tell that story later, but my first game that I played was probably Super Mario Brothers and Top Gun. And those were both really hard games.
Me and my brother would play Top Gun together a lot.
They're just...
And try and land on the aircraft carrier.
It's incredibly hard. Like, I don't understand why they made them so hard.
It's funny because they are... I don't mean to interrupt you.
The first game that resonated with me was Mega Man 2.
Oh, Mega Man.
I don't know if you guys played
that
the Mega
music
Man.
Is great.
But the Mega Man
a lot of Mega Man
and the Mega Man game. Like, Mega Man 2 is the culmination. It's like a perfect game in my mind.
It is
like,
really
amazing. I think about it and it's like, it's everything I want games to be, because they have like these 8 bad guys that you have to beat. And then you beat them and it unlocks this bigger bad guy who is like coordinating all these other bad guys. And you're like, holy shit. Like,
Dr. Wily, right?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Dr. Wily's
name was
just like
through my head.
Controlling them. He's like, they're just pawns. Like, I didn't need to kill them or absorb their energies. Like, Mega Man's kind of weird because you like suck in their powers. Like, after you kill somebody, you like own
Mega
their
Man
power.
Was so cool.
It is very cool.
And like, then there's like this Pokemon angle where like, the bubbles kill the fire guy and the fire kills the water guy.
Yeah.
There's all these like,
I feel like we're not discussing the intrinsic element of it is you can choose any level you want to at a time.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
That's a great feature of it.
Yes.
Yeah, so
and they all have like a different color scheme.
Quick Man. Quick Man's from Mega Man 2. And if you remember Quick Man's level, it's intense. And his special ability is to freeze time.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which was a big thing on my mind. But I remember, okay, so I need to talk about the older brother angle. So I was playing a lot of Super Mario, and my older brother would watch me, and he was already good at this game, and he couldn't stand me just like
not being
failing
good at
over
it.
And
yeah.
over again. And so he would just take the controller, and he would like kind of impede my ability to like
progress.
Excel or like right. learn. You know, like we were talking about watching people learn and change, and this is not something that older brothers do. And this also brings in
I don't
the gender,
think that's,
I guess.
That's completely true, though, because I think about this also, and particularly with your brother, like, we talked about how he just, like, let you shave horribly for
years.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Might be your brother.
Yeah, it's just why you be that you
seems like
have
a bad brother.
A shitty brother.
Maybe he's just not great at being in the older brother role.
Exactly.
Like,
he
you should have been
great,
the older
he
brother.
He would have been a great younger brother.
Yeah, exactly. He would have been a good younger brother.
Terrible yeah. leader, fantastic follower.
So I had these games that I was good at, and it wasn't necessarily the games that everybody loved, like Legend of Zelda 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, Link.
The Adventures of Link.
Adventures of Link.
And
I thought that was actually a pretty difficult game.
My brother played that a lot. I watched him play that like so much. And then one time I accidentally did that thing where you start the game, but you hit reset.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I accidentally reset
erased
his data.
His...
Yeah.
And
was
then
he so mad?
He was
dude.
So mad. Then later, his son did something, the same thing to me on an RPG, just by like being a young boy trying to like play Uncle D's games.
Yeah. No, karma. Anyway, so when I got older and, you know, I quit video games for a while and then I got back into them with my high school buddies because I was like, oh, you guys like video games too. And it was funny, like the games I could excel at, like Ninja Turtles, the original Ninja Turtles, and Legend of Zelda 2, people would be like, I've never seen the end of this game.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, how are you so good at this game?
To bring us back, I'm like, glad that we're discussing this, because he is incredibly full of shit that he disarmed all the bombs in Ninja Turtles.
No,
there's not been a soul on the planet to do this to date.
Honestly, Splinter turns into a human at the end of the game, and it's weird. You fight the Technodrome too.
Yeah, is it the same one that's in the arcade?
No,
that's the
That's a good game.
That's a side scrolling.
The game
yeah,
I'm talking
is,
about is a bad
oh,
game.
Oh, okay, because that's probably my most played. Well, that and The Simpsons are
they
my
call
most
that
played
one
arcade games.
Oh, yeah.
Ninja Turtles, the arcade.
I feel like
game.
We should have called this relegated to NES. Because
oh,
there are
okay.
so many
yeah.
other like,
oh,
things
I know.
That we haven't discussed.
I know.
Especially arcade games. We haven't discussed like fighting, like kind of Mortal Kombat. But like video games are like, you know, we were apprehensive about approaching the topic, but they're like these weird.
It's a wealth of wealth of nostalgia.
A wealth
oh,
of
yeah.
life.
Did
like,
anybody
yeah.
play
parts of our life?
Like Final Fantasy games? Has
I was
going to
bring that up because I was going to say that I was going to question you guys, like at what point your parents stopped playing the video games, because my dad was like very into Zelda and very into Final Fantasy, and we all
oh,
just
really?
Sat around and watched him play those games.
I think that's awesome.
And then he didn't ever show interest in another game after those two games.
Hmm.
He
those
like
are pretty
went in,
games.
Beat those games. Yeah.
That's
I
cool.
love Final Fantasy because I loved any game that had like dragons
mm-hmm.
or mythical, any mythical
magic
creature.
Fantastical
yeah.
ones,
menus
yeah.
that you have to pop through. I feel like the Final Fantasy games were like little novels.
Well, that's
like
the whole discussion
had,
about the RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, okay, well, just thinking about when my dad stopped, I think he played Super Mario 3 with me, but he stopped when it became clear that I like was so much better than him at it.
Which is so Wayne from what I know from what you told
yes.
me.
Yes.
But yeah, if we're keeping NES, but he got back into him with the
I
Wii.
I will tell you my hands down favorite RPG that I've ever played is Earthbound.
Oh yeah,
that,
I collected a lot
yeah,
of arrows
watching
that.
Yeah, that
many different people.
No,
playing
that
the same game
I felt like I got I like we had it set up in my bedroom at the mm-hmm. Verde Apartments, and me and Phil and Corey were all playing it, and it like infiltrated my life in a big way.
As you RPGs should. But yeah. on the thing with like parents, my dad has always been like, I don't have the coordination to do it. Like since 1986 until now, like maybe he enjoyed Pong a little bit, but like he has never prescribed to video games. Like even like I've been playing like modern video games being like, man, this is such a story that I think my dad
would like, really like.
Would love to watch me play this. And then he comes into the room and like watches me play the game for about like 2 minutes, and he's like, all right, Donnie, like, I'll see you later. And it's like, it's so strange. Like,
was your dad not a machinist?
He is, exactly. Right? He is.
Doesn't that require
no, I agree. I think about that all the time. It's more just in the fact that he, like, that's his easiest way to say, like, I don't want to prescribe to this,
yeah. right?
Which I can get behind because, like, I've adopted that from him, just being like, okay, well, this is something I will never and don't want to care about.
Okay.
I have a couple things I need to say. One is that it's funny because like right before I came here, Eli texted me, hey, could you not buy the twins a video game console? Because I want that to be like my first like funny. Big uncle gift to
Aww,
them.
So sweet.
And I was like, that's funny you should mention that. That's our podcast topic tonight is video games. The second thing is I will need to leave soon.
Oh,
okay. So should we like do our segments super quick or?
Yeah, we can do the segments. We're over time already.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Well, let's just wrap it up. We'll okay. do segments next time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, we can wrap it up.
We can even part two this or whatever.
Are you going to play a video game song?
Oh, I don't have one queued up. Sorry.
Okay.
Just the same old boring ass song. I could play a mini bosses song.
I was thinking you should play the mini bosses because you could play Mega Man. That's a really good song.
Do they have a Mega Man 2?
Yeah, I think they do.
Okay, let's play that instead. All right. Thanks for listening to our podcast. This is the Athens Public Think Tank podcast. You can get us on athenspublic.com. We appreciate you listening and email us athenspublic@gmail.com. Twitter us at athenspublic. Well, that's it, right? I don't know.
I was receiving calls for a while on the number and then they stopped.
Oh, yeah. We need to verify our number. Maybe we'll do that.
Sick. All right. Thank you all.
We love you.